Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and this is the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. We're so happy that you will join us today. There is truly a word from the Lord. Mm-hmm. We're speaking concerning Christian character, and we're going to move on from there and start to deal with some other things that the Holy Spirit has been laying upon me in the, let's go ahead and get into it. But first of all, let's have Prophetess Crystal go ahead and give us our announcements and, you know, lead us in our prayer tonight and let the Lord use you.
Amen. God bless you, everyone. Once again, welcome to our show, Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. The announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 6:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear our shows live at www.ckr.org. As many of you may already know, that is also our website. We invite you there. We ask you to pray and become a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Also, if you would like Apostle or myself to become a minister at your church, please go to, as you're at our website, go to our contact page. Please put as much detailed information there and send that information to us. Amen. Name, phone number, address, email address as well. Let us know the theme of the ministry, of what is going on. Give us as much information. Someone will contact you within 12 to 24 hours. Also, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry also has a Facebook page as well. Visit us there. Leave praise reports, prayer requests as well. Find us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, or you can locate me under Women of Prophetic Destiny. Those are the announcements as follows. Now for the big announcements we have coming up, October 18th and 19th. I'm personally inviting you to join me for my Women of Prophetic Destinies Conference. Don't abort your assignment. Hosted at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, located at 213 Stone Street in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. We have powerful preaching, impacted teaching, wonderful worship and praise. We're looking for you to be there. We're expecting God to move mightily. Amen. That's October 18th and 19th, 2013. Women, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, Women of Prophetic Destiny, being hosted at or being held at Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. And also, none other than my husband, Apostle McQueen, will be ministering this Thursday, the 19th, at New Hope. I believe it's New Hope Word of Life Church. Thank you. New Hope Word of Life Church in Titusville, Florida. It's going to be bringing the word. It's going to be powerful. Excitement is already in the air. We've been hearing, or at least I've been hearing, people are going to be showing up. That it seems to say, for some reason, I've been talking to different members, and they were like, Thursday seems to be the night, and that's the night that Apostle will be ministering the word. So we invite you out. That's New Hope Word of Life Church, amen, located in Titusville, Florida. Amen. And I'm sure my husband will bring you more information as follows. Those are the announcements, people of God. Let us pray so we can get right into this word. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We worship you. We thank you for life. We thank you for your strength. Thank you for truth. Now, God, as we come, we humble ourselves at your feet. We ask that you would forgive us and wash us. Wash us from every sin of omission and commission. Wash us clean in your blood. Make us white as snow. Cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. In the name of Jesus, God, as the man of God comes forth, crown his head with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, give him the message for this moment, this season, this hour, that will change and affect the lives of all who hear it from this point forward. In the name of Jesus. Now, God, we give your name glory. We give your name honor. We give your name praise. Our spirits and our hearts are open to receive from you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you for that awesome prayer. I want you all to know that God is doing mighty things. And just for this Thursday night, I will be in New Hope Word of Life. Lord help me today. I was looking at it, saw it, just looked at the paperwork, and I keep wanting to say New Home, but it's New Hope Word of Life Church here in Titusville, Florida. If you're in the Central Florida area and you're able to get over there Thursday night at 7 o'clock, 7:30. You want to be there. Amen. Come out, hear what the Lord is saying. And then on Friday night at Benjamin Davis Church of God in Christ in Sabring, Florida, I will be ministering in Sabring, Florida at Benjamin Davis Church of God in Christ, Pastor Saunders. And we'll be down there with them and fellowshipping. And I tell you, it's this is what God is doing. If you, the Lord lays on your heart to ask us to come, just simply go to our website, click on the contact page, and then you'll see information, engagements, and just fill that out, or drop us an email and let us know. Apostle or prophetess, we desire for you to come and minister here. We're not high maintenance, amen. And I say that because we've, as I said, had people who we asked to come for programs, and about time we finished with the contracts and with the preliminaries, we need to have some just so we can afford to get them there. You know, it was more about what I'm going to get than what I'm going to give. Yeah, and when you are a true apostle, a true man and woman of God, knowing your assignment, then you go where the need is and not necessarily where the resources are. Amen. That doesn't say that we're going to go and, you know, to every needy place, and that's where our level is. It's saying that at all the places that God has taken us and that he's allowed us to go, we do not exclude people based on their ability.
That's right.
Fiscally, to bring us in. The word of God is free, amen, and the word of God is needed from the top to the bottom, amen.
No, that's the truth.
I think in Christendom, There's this perception that you have not made it until you preach into everyone with the big money. Well, guess what? If you can preach to the people with the big money and they trust in those finances. So when you get there, you can't preach heaven or hell. You got to preach prosperity and you know, good life and abundant living. And, you know, but you can't tell them, listen, the grace of God has poured out for you already, but you got to be obedient to the will of God. Because when you start talking about the will of God and it don't line up with your personal will, they're like, hey, we don't want our offerings to go down. So, you know, you got to cater to. And I'm so grateful that we can just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ without worrying about the rest of it. Amen.
Amen.
So, if you want us to come, we're definitely willing to come. And one more thing, and that is this Woman of Prophetic Destiny Conference. Brothers and sisters, my heart, my spirit, my soul is excited and jumping for joy right now. I'm ready for it to be next week because I'm so, just in expectation of the great things that God's doing and that He's going to do. You don't want to miss this. If you make the Friday night, you know, you get there, you're going to be upset that you didn't stay for Saturday. If you come on Saturday, you're going to be mad that you missed Friday. I will try to be there for the whole thing because you don't want to miss a moment of this. Amen. Powerful word, powerful worship. I'm telling you now, the worship is going to be on another level. Amen. So don't come too pretty because you might be laying out on the floor just worshiping the King. Or in other words, come pretty, but don't be too pretty that you can't give God His true praise. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a nice way to say it. Amen. Let's go into this word here. On Thursday night, I've been studying and praying and asking God concerning His word, and He's been speaking concerning who we are, but not just who we are, but who He's placed us under. There are so many people who are ready to just go out and be grand, wonderful, and big, but if you're not disciplined, amen, then you'll go out and you'll make a shipwreck of opportunities. It's interesting that, and my father used to say this, he used to say, listen, if you're supposed to be going right at a certain point and you go left, before you can do the right thing, you got to come back to that point and start going the right way. Amen. Thank God when He redeems us, He doesn't leave us where we are, but He brings us back to that point and allows us to pick up where we left off. Amen. He doesn't put you in the place where you were supposed to go, but He brings you back to the point that allows you to now pursue that path. Amen. I remember when I got my call to the ministry. The Lord called me and told me that He wanted me to preach the gospel. And being a musician, the first thing I did was run. I ran fast and hard. I couldn't run fast or hard enough. Couldn't run far enough. Because wherever I was, the calling was. And some of you right now are fighting with the fact that God called you. Because you're looking at those who have answered the call. And you looked at the things that they've had to go through. And in yourself, you don't want to deal with the fact that you got to go through some things. So you look at it and you're like, you know what? Lord, let this cup pass from me. Can't I just be a servant? Can't I just be, in the church and, you know, just part of the praise team? Can't I just be a musician? Can I be the head usher or the head deacon, the trustee? Do I have to go all the way and do everything? Can I just be a good steward and serving in the house of the Lord? Listen, what God called you to, you're not going to be satisfied till you're doing it.
That's the truth.
You're going to find all kind of problems. You're going to see all kind of issues and other things until you are doing what's going on. Let me tell you, you'll find when people are out of place because they are very critical, amen, of where they are and what's going on around them. You want to know how to not be critical? Get into the place where God called you to. Do what he's told you to do. Satisfaction comes with that. But before you can get into that place, you have to learn how to submit to somebody.
Amen.
Amen. And that's the problem, is that people don't want to submit to anyone. You know, I got a Bible. I can read it myself. And there's something that you have to understand. And hear me clearly. Amen. The devil don't care that you can hear. The devil cares that you obey. You understand that? The devil don't care at all that you can hear. As a matter of fact, he'll whisper himself in your ear just so you can hear something.
Yeah.
Amen. So, and it'll sound just like, ooh, I heard the voice and it felt right in my spirit. Wait a minute, hold on. The reason why I felt right in your spirit is because it wasn't the Holy Spirit and you've been running from him all this time. So when you heard something, it tickled your flesh so much that you thought it was the Spirit manifesting. No, it was your flesh getting the validation of the disobedience that you've been walking out. So what happens then is you can hear from God. Amen. And you can hear from him to the point where you know it's God. But the devil doesn't care about that. He cares that you're obedient to God. Why would I say that? I'm saying that because there's too many people right now, as you are learning how to hear from God and you're getting instructions concerning what God wants you to do, it doesn't always feel right. And because it doesn't feel right, you're ready to just back off and move over and do whatever so that you can get yourself, you know, in position so you can get the glory. You're waiting for people to recognize you and the anointing on your life. Be careful what you ask for. Amen. You're waiting for somebody to shout your name. Be careful what you ask for. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Because there are some things that happen, amen, when people begin to shout your name, amen, huh? If you go in the archives, I was ministering a word, amen, concerning who we really are. And before you run up and try to grab a title, get oil poured upon your head, smeared, amen, as the anointing is. Before you go through all of that, you need to understand what you're actually running to. Because if you understand that it's not the lights, it's not the glamour, it's not the fame or fortune that you're actually going to, then you'll take some time and slow your roll and consider your walk, amen, huh? The Bible says, on your ministry, wait on your ministry. Wait on it, amen. In other words, don't try to jump out here because you got an inkling and move. Let me give you the flip side of that. If God already called you, stop using that as an excuse not to move. Well, you know, I don't want to move before time. You're being hard-headed. So you trying to use that, well, you know, I don't want to move before time because I don't want to. My father said something to me. He said, I'm looking at you all, and you all aren't afraid to move when God speaks. Says when we was coming up, everybody was afraid to move. Every time the Lord spoke, everybody's like, well, you know, you don't want to move before time. So the end result is that we got a lot of people who should have moved that didn't move. And now you can see what they should have did, but they're too old to do it now.
Yeah.
Past their prime.
Yeah.
So stop making excuses for inactivity and do what he called you to do. I got to learn the word more. Okay, you keep on living, okay? How do I learn this word? I got to get in this word and preach this word. I have to preach it on Tuesday night. I have to preach it on Saturday morning. I have to preach it on Sunday. I have to preach it during the week. My life has to preach this message. You want to learn the word of God? Begin to live the word of God. Amen? Because you're not going to preach the same message every time. So that means that you have to learn how to get in the word, to dig out of the word of God to give to the people. That means that even if you can't quote a scripture by line and verse and placement in the Bible, you know in your heart and in your spirit that the word of God says, and at the due season, at the right time, you'll be able to go in and find what this word God says. And the Holy Spirit can validate the word through you. Amen? Because, see, you're trying to go off of your intelligence and your strength and your intellect. Amen? But you need the Spirit of God. You need His anointing on you. Amen? You need the grace of God over your life to be able to do any of this. Amen? Hallelujah, somebody. Huh? Because you think that we up here with three-piece suits on, gold chains and watches and rings and everything else, and people are bringing us, you know, water with napkins and stuff over it and asking us if we want to, you know, something to wipe our brow. Why would you don't understand what we went through in order to get the word to give to you. Amen? And some of you don't understand that after all is said and done, that may be all that we actually got. Because we see the need, and so people give to the ministry, we turn around and or give to us as we're out, and we turn around and give the money right back to the ministry to help do the work of kingdom building. See? So you're looking at it with your eyes, not knowing what happens on the other side. And you need to stop looking at the greener grass on the other side. Because the reason why the grass is greener on the other side is there's a lot more manure in it. Amen? So before you get over there and step in a pile of something that you never knew was there, stay on your own yard where you know where every hole is, where you know where all the mess is, and do what God called you to do there. Clean up that yard. Amen? Huh? Work on your ministry at home first. Amen? Yes. So now, there, we have two here then. We have those who refuse to go. And then we have those who just run out and go. But if you aren't called to this, you're going to have a hard time dealing with this. Let's read this. Amen. Let's see this. 1 Corinthians 4. Let's go down to the 8th verse. It says, you are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. This Apostle Paul speaking here. And indeed, I wish you did reign, that you might all we might also reign with you. In other words, we should be fellow partakers of the gospel. As you grow and you go up, we should grow and go up too. Amen? Look what he says here in the 9th verse, though. He says, for I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last, as men condemned to death. Huh? For we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and men. Angels are trying to figure out how we go through. Huh? And men are trying to figure out why we go through. Huh? So, here you are running after gifts and callings and don't have a grace of God upon your life. And when you have the grace of God upon your life, you'll be able to go through this stuff without it even messing with you. Amen? You'll understand your position. You'll understand your purpose in the kingdom. Well, I want to know what the Lord wants me to do. The Lord wants you to go through. Amen? See, it's not about suffering. It's about persevering through adversity, so that others can come to Christ. Help us, Jesus. I thought it was just so I could. Ooh, I've been sending off my blessing offering. You know, they asked for $233 because the Lord spoke to them that total, and I sent it all, expecting my blessing to come. And guess what? Thank you for your offering. But you need to get on your knees and pray and ask God concerning his will for your life. You want to know where your blessing is? Your blessing is in your obedience to his will for your life. Amen? See, and when you don't know that, then people can come with something that sounds deep and awesome and tickle you, and you think that without going through, you can still get the blessing. Brother and sister, you can't get the blessing unless the blesser releases it, and he's not going to release it until you are obedient to his will.
Amen. Well, I know what's going on Thursday. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. It says you are already full. And look, let me go back up to the sixth verse so you can hear this in context. Amen. It says, now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself in Apollos for your sake. In other words, I'm saying this so that you can see it upon us. Figuratively. Okay? So you can see it on us for your sake. You need something you can attach this word to, a visual aid. Let me use myself. Amen. Let me use myself in Apollos. That you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. See, that's the problem when we got pastors out of pulpits and put life coaches in.
Yeah.
Huh? Mm. That's what happened when we got we stopped having spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers, and we started befriending people because who gave the offering. Amen. Spiritual mother, I remember I would come in and try to do my best, and the spiritual mother, spiritual father said, you need to go back and pray some more. You need to fast just a little bit longer. Oh, I see you. You moving. Amen. But you still need just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. It's going to be all right. God's going to, ooh, I feel, hallelujah. They will go into a prayer talking to you. and you felt the power of God when they went into it. They said, God's going to use you. Oh, he's going to use you. He said, just a little bit more. You need just a little bit more prayer. Oh, in a due season, he's going to bring you out. You're coming out. Amen. You know, about time they did that once or twice, you was laying on the floor, your lips quivering, rolling left and right. Amen. Woo, I can feel that right now. I'm telling you. See, power, true power, comes from those who have a relationship and are connected to God. Amen. Huh? And when we look at this here, we know that they had it, because if it wasn't in that word, they wasn't following it. Today we're following every good sounding, religious sounding rhetoric. If it sounds like I can get ahead without going through and God is still going to be blessed me, well, you know, the Lord loves us anyhow. You know, he married to the backslider. That's right. He's married to the backslider. But why do you have to go through a backsliding situation for you to feel that you're loved by the one who loved you before you went out? Huh? Why do you feel that if you go out and mess up, that the Holy Spirit, you know, needs to come and take you back, because after all, he married to me. Listen, that sin that's in your life, your flesh is too alive.
Yes, sir.
So when your flesh should be dead, and I went over this last broadcast, you know, we know that you're dead, amen, because when things come to you, they don't have an effect on you from your past. Things that used to stir you and move you now have no effect on you. Amen?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Huh? If you were a womanizer, the most beautiful woman, shapely and fine, could come in front of you and your eyes won't even flicker that way, because you're so in love with Jesus that you're afraid to look to offend Jesus. See, your flesh dies. And when the devil knows that he can't throw a worm at you on a hook to get you out of your destiny, then he looks for another way to get you. So he throws a carrot to see if he can sway you. And when he can't do that, then he throws an apple or a sugar cube. Trying to get you to go one way or the other. But brothers and sisters, when you are disciplined to the will of God, you, no matter what he brings your way, you won't fail. You won't fall. You won't veer. You won't go over there. You won't be derailed. You won't be distracted. You'll focus on your destiny, and you'll do what God called you to do.
Okay.
Huh? That's where we are. That's where we are. That's what we're talking about. Okay, so then if he says that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written in my life, if there's something going on, the first thing that you have to understand that Apostle McQueen is going to follow the word of God to the letter. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm not perfect, no, by no shape, form, or fashion. But in the word of God, if I mess up, I understand that I have a mediator who can help me get it right. If I missed it the first time, you can almost bet that I'm not going to miss it the second time. Because my desire is not to find a cause out of the will of God, but to fill it. And if I mess up, I know I can get back in and keep walking it and not mess up there again. How come you keep coming back to church? You keep coming back to God and asking him for forgiveness over the same thing. The problem there is that you have asked him for forgiveness, but you haven't given up those desires.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you, you know, to give up those desires and then be walking around fulfilling my own. I have to live it out before you. I'm a living epistle, read them in, and so are you, brother and sister. Others are going to come to Christ based on what they see in you before they hear a preacher, before they read a scripture, before they pray a prayer, before they read a pamphlet or anything else. They're going to see your life and see if your life measures up to what God says. Isn't it interesting that children, before they can speak, know when somebody is bad around them? Someone tries to pick them up, they'll start to cry because they feel something there. Huh? You see that? And so it is with people who are coming to Christ. Before they know any scripture, they already know when something ain't right. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? So you have to live the life. Huh? And we have to live the life ahead of you. I started talking about leadership before this. And it's interesting when we talk about leadership that everyone rests on their laurels. They rest on their ordinations. They rest on their degrees and diplomas. They rest on their certificates. They rest on how long they've been in service. But guess what? There are some people who have been there forever and they still messing up, tearing up lives because they were hurt and they never got it right. So now all they're doing is talking to people about how hurt they was. Amen. Those people come into Christianity with a veil over their face. They can't see clearly because when they came in, instead of loving on them and allowing the Holy Spirit to strengthen them, they came in and picked up your mantle. Mm-hmm. And you can't see. Now they can't see. What is your life really demonstrating to those under you? Are you really training them for succession?
Wow.
Huh? Or are you just trying to get a bunch of people to follow after you so you can feel great in the number of people following after you? My importance in the kingdom of God is not how many come to my church on Sunday, but how many I really impact for the kingdom. Huh? What is your kingdom influence? You want to impress me? Don't tell me how much y'all raised in the offering. Tell me how many people, how many sons and daughters have been birthed out through your ministry. How many souls and lives have been changed? Not how many people sitting in your pews, because people come because you put your show, I said show, together. Amen? Huh? We used to have a certain pastor that we, every time and worship and everything would go on, and then after everyone would get done, then he would get up and do his show.
Sure
was. And we called it the show. Amen. I'm not going to mention his name. Peradventure someone would listen to this and know exactly who I'm talking about. Amen. But if you was there, you know who I'm talking about anyhow. Everybody else don't need to know. Amen. So we would get done with praise and worship. The power of God would be in there. And the Shekinah glory would be in there. People would be slain in the spirit. And just as quick as all of that happened, he would pick up the microphone. And now it's time for his show. Because he got to show people that he got it. See, Paul here says, He says, now these things, brother, I figuratively have transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. Let's keep going. That none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against the other. In other words, stop trying to be great, grand, and wonderful and be called. Not only called, be chosen. How do you be chosen? Answer the call. Go through the process, amen, of being made and allow the Holy Spirit to do in you what he's called you to do. Because before you get out there, he's going to put you through the paces, amen. You're going to go through your steps, amen. You're going to learn how to hear him. You're going to learn how to trust him. You're going to learn how to depend on him. Your faith is going to be built up to a place where you have enough faith to bring somebody else out and help them when they can't believe for themselves. You're going to demonstrate the power of God. That's why you go through some things. I was sharing with someone else, my wife and I, and we said, you know, there's some things that we went through in our life and we don't understand why we have to go through it. It really wasn't for us. Down the road, as we were ministering to others, we saw where that experience came in to empower our witness. See, if you talk to me and you ain't never been through, sometimes your words don't have the weight that they need to have. But when you're talking to me and you're encouraging me and you tell me that you went through and your testimony validates the experience that I'm feeling now, now when I look at you, I can see that if you came out, if he brought you out, he can bring me out. Amen. So our lives then justify for us. Not that I'm greater than somebody else, I just know my assignment. Huh? In my assignment, the person who taught me how to play the organ, Minister Brian Thomas, amen, in Toledo, Ohio, Brian said, listen, let me tell y'all something. I don't care how many loop-de-loops you can do on the keyboard and singing and playing, do everything else. You never gonna beat me being me. Amen? Now, let's take that and apply it to what we're talking about here. I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care how articulate you think you are. I don't care how slick you were as a used car salesman before you got saved. You're never going to out-preach me in my assignment. That means I don't have to compete with you. I don't care if you learn all the thesauruses, amen, and most of the dictionaries. I don't care if you can speak Greek and Chaldean and Arabic, huh? As second, third, fourth language to English. You also speak French and Swahili. God bless you for all those languages. But when it comes to articulating this word that the Holy Spirit put on inside of me, you're not going to beat me doing that. Amen. You know why? Because he gave it to me. Now, on vice versa, I can't compete with you because I can't speak those languages like you. What happens when we stop going against one another? Then we start focusing on a true enemy. Do you understand what happens when we're focused on each other? It's that we're not focused on the devil, which means he can still work and walk around us because we're so engulfed in the argument and debate between us that we don't even notice that the enemy's trying to circle us up. Yeah. How about we get off of who's greater? Huh? And we get on what my assignment is and do what God called me to do. Listen, isn't it interesting that these disciples came to Jesus or they was walking with Jesus at one point and they were debating between themselves who was greater. And Jesus was upset. What do you mean? What do you mean who's greater? Y'all want to be great? Be the least. Oh. We're trying to be great for the name of Jesus, then a lot of mega churches have to downsize.
Yep.
Because it was never about him. It was about how many people we can bring in, because those are bigger offerings, which means that I can get a bigger salary, which means I can have bigger stuff. More stuff. We're back to stuff, ain't we? Huh? And see, when you think that stuff defines your ability and your level on God, you have mistaken yourself. You've been fooled by a deceiver. Isn't it interesting we fool each other with the same foolish lie? Jesus spoke about all those things. Amen. Paul spoke about all those things. James spoke about all those things. Amen. Huh? Peter speaks about all those things. But yet, still, here we are running around talking about stuff and things.
2,000 years later.
Can we get this together? Huh? Can we please? Huh? Look what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who makes you differ from one another or from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Huh? Now, if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Mm-hmm. Now we get to where I started at. You are already full.
Already.
You are already rich.
Already.
You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I wish you did reign that we might also reign with you. For I think that God has displayed us apostles, those who are doing the work in leadership. Amen. Last, as men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Now let's keep going. Amen. 10th verse. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. Oh, I wish I could preach. Oh, I wish I could preach this. Oh, I wish I could preach this. Huh? We are fools for Christ's sake. We tell you we believe God. And you sit back and say, well, you know, our bank account don't say it. Well, the Lord want me to do it, then I got some stipulations for him. I do it when God do this. Hold on, stop bartering with God. How do you barter with someone who has sovereign authority? When he spoke it, if you fail to do it, he'll raise up another. Look what happens with praise. If we refuse to praise him, the Bible says that the rocks would cry out. You see that? He said, do you hear what they're saying? He said, if they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out in their place. Do you understand that you don't hold God hostage by your obedience? But you hinder yourself. You harm yourself by your disobedience. Amen? Huh? So if doing what God called you to do makes you look foolish, be like us. Amen? Huh? We are fools for Christ's sake. Huh? What does that mean? That means that when it comes down to it, huh, we will do what we need to do. Huh? It's interesting that as Paul was dealing with the Epicureans and the Stoics in Acts, the 17th chapter, that as he begins to preach to them Jesus Christ and the resurrection, they looked at him like, what are you babbling about? Don't you feel sometime when you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, they're looking at you like, what in the world are you talking about? Brothers and sisters, you're not the last one. You're not the first and you won't be the last one. But guess what? Share the gospel. Keep preaching that gospel. Amen. That gospel is going to deliver somebody. And if God put you here so that you could do it, then guess what? You're fulfilling your purpose. Amen. See, all the world will hear the gospel. Whether they choose, there's a choice. Whether they choose to receive it and believe it or not. Amen. But they will have heard it. Amen. And that's our job, is to go throughout the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. See, when we begin to decide who we feel is worthy or not based on how they look or what we perceive about them, then we restrict the gospel and we don't fulfill the great assignment that he's given us, the great commission that he's given us, man. That means that when you look at them and they can afford you to come, that's what I was saying at the very beginning about us, amen? When you look at them and they look like they can afford you to come, you go. And when you look at them and they don't look like they can afford for you to go, then God will make a way for you to still go, because the gospel has to be preached, amen? You never know whose life will be changed, huh? I always like to go back to John the 4th chapter and deal with the woman at the well. Here's someone disqualified on so many different levels from being able to minister the word of God. Amen. But yet and still, Jesus takes time and reveals himself to her. She has a revelation of him, and she leaves and goes and gets a community, and they come back, handle him for themselves, and the whole community is saved. You see that? So here you are thinking that you have to go save the community and all you have to go do is be a witness. But they're going to look at me. We are fools, Christ's sake. Huh? But you are wise in Christ. Let's keep going. We are weak, but you are strong. It filled us up to me. Someone told me, you know, I couldn't go on through what you went through because as soon as they would have came with that mess, I would have told them this, I would have did that, I would have been up there. I said, when the Holy Spirit said, don't say nothing, you shut it down. How are you going to have a greater defense than the Holy Spirit? How are you going to speak and articulate greater than the one who's going to speak for you? Do you know that this gospel that we preach, it's not, it doesn't flow because I decided that I was going to throw it together. It flows because the Holy Spirit is speaking through me. And when I'm looking at this word and I begin to minister, then the oil begins to flow. What's the oil? It's the scripture. It's the word of God. It's a revelation that he's given me. And sometimes it's happening as I'm speaking these words. He'll speak a scripture to me. I'll go to the scripture and it'll open up everything that I was just saying because he's going to get the glory. It's not because I was so intelligent and articulate that I just put all that together at one time. No, I'm sitting here ministering what he gave me to start with. And when I sowed that seed, that word, amen, into good soil, those listeners, those souls, then he begins to come and give me what to water that seed with. God gets the increase. Amen? He gets the glory. You see that? So when people look at us, sometimes they think we're weak because we don't respond like you respond. I don't respond like you respond because I'm not saying that my flesh is all the way dead. But my flesh is a whole lot more dead than your flesh. See, I can understand when the Holy Spirit says, don't do something, not to do it. I'm not going to do it and make an excuse, but they just need to hear from me this time. You know, God got to help me. God got to help me. Stop saying God got to help me and let God help you. Amen? Amen. Huh? Look what it says here. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. Ooh, they disrespected. I wish they would call me out of my title. You know, I am apostle, chief apostle, Christopher McQueen. And you called me brother, you know, because you didn't want to honor the apostleship. That's okay, because, you know, you ain't got to see me. I'm okay. Stop. First of all, I am a brother. Amen? And if that title is what's causing you not to be able to share the gospel with everybody, drop the title. See, the thing is that when you earn the title, then you understand that the title didn't make you. Huh? See, there's a saying, the suit doesn't make me, I make the suit. Or the clothes don't make me, I make the clothes. Clothes don't make the man. That's it. Clothes don't make the man. The man makes the clothes. Mm-hmm. You see that? So if you put on a title, but you don't have what it takes, then you just wearing a baggy suit. And you don't look good. Your shoes too big. Huh? Your belt is too thin. See, you got to understand, when I talk to leadership about not taking on what God has not given you, then you have to understand that I'm trying to get you to understand that you can't grab a hold of something because it looked good. If God has not decreed and declared it, it doesn't belong to you. Stop touching what is not yours. God wants to get the glory. He can't get the glory until you back off and try to get the glory. They ain't call me apostle. They ain't call me pastor. They ain't call me prophet. Can you still preach the the gospel? Are you still able to minister the gospel? See, but you want this title. You want to run after it. Okay? All right. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, listen now. This is for those of you out there saying that God called us to prosperity and riches and everything, and it's the gift of God for me to have money, money, money. Liar, liar, liar. Okay? That's not what he called you to. Look what it says here. Huh? It says, to the present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty. We are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor working with our own hands. You see that? Huh? Being reviled, we bless. So what's your behavior now that you don't have all that extra stuff to hide behind? You don't have a gold chain to hide behind. You don't have a cross and a wheelbarrow to carry it in and a signet ring, you know, and your armor bearers bear your arm up because you know it's so heavy. Huh? Now that you don't have all that stuff to show everybody how wonderful and deep and important you are, now that you don't have that, how do you respond? So first, it says we labor and work with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the scouring of all things until now. And then he goes on and says, listen, I want y'all to understand something. I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. And I told you early that we have stopped looking for spiritual fathers. Spiritual mothers. We stop looking for them. We want people to tell us that we're right to feel this way. We're right to pursue personal things. Mm-hmm. We're right to, you know, do this, do that, and other.
We want friends instead of instruction.
Yes, thank you, prophets. We want friends instead of instructors. See, one of the hardest things is when you have a parent child relationship that has gone into friend-friend relationship. Best friend homie. That means that instead of being able to give as a parent instruction, you don't have that influence anymore. You gave up that influence and that authority in the life of that child to be their friend. See, and when you are the friend, then that means that when things are good, they're good because friends like to hang out with each other. I understand that's what you're going after. But the other side of that is when there somebody needs to chastise or someone needs to correct, then you don't have the voice of a parent. Mm-hmm. See? And the same thing here. You see this? He's saying, look, y'all got all that stuff. And y'all think that y'all all that, because, you know, you look at me and I don't have it yet. God hasn't given it to me at that level. You live in a 6-bedroom home. I live in a 4. You got 5 baths, full baths, and I only got 2. You know, and okay, and you driving 3 or 4 cars, taking your choice which one you want to go out, and they're all, you know, 2012 or newer. And maybe I only have one 2012. And one, thank you, Lord, that we can still get around with 2 cars. See, when you start using materialistic things to judge the spiritual level of men and women of God, then you don't understand what they've gone through in order to birth out, huh, a son or a daughter. How are you going to come out of what you went into and where the enemy has tried to get you? Because you got to understand that you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. That means that shaping was the devil seeing what you were supposed to do and trying to get you off track from that. Huh? God called you to do children's and youth ministry. So first thing the devil does is he gives you a problem with children. I don't even like kids. You know why you don't like kids, but you always around them trying to help them and then talking about you don't like them? Because you really do like kids, and you do have a calling there. Isn't it interesting that people try to talk themselves out of what they're already doing? Huh? I don't like working with people. But as soon as somebody have a problem, then you are spending your time, energy, and resources trying to help them. But just as quick as you do it, you turn around and go, ooh, I don't like helping people. They just get on my nerves. They get on your nerves, but every opportunity you have to help, there you are. Guess what? That's what you were really called to do. But because you got hurt in a certain place, you walked away from it. That's where that murmuring and complaining come in. Huh? Because you were born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The iniquity was the part that kept you or gave you that perception of what you don't like, even though you know you called to it. So now here you are supposed to be going on doing what God called you to do, and you're fighting with yourself. I tell you what, if you just give up and let God have his way, then you'll find out that healing comes from dealing with those things that have hurt you. But I was hurt by some young people, you know, and they used to, okay, well, go on over there, and, you know, and as you're dealing with them, they say, you know what, I don't care what anybody else say, you are the best, thank you. Thank you, God, for sending them to me. And in your heart, you'll just feel all that ice melting. You'll feel the bricks that you put up to keep a wall around you. You feel those bricks just sliding off as if they had never been up there right. Falling over. When those things happen, don't go back and turn the freezer back on. Don't go back up and try to reassemble those bricks. You understand? Let the Holy Spirit finish what he's doing. He says here, he said, I write these things not to shame you, but as my beloved children. God loves you, and we love you. I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. When we're talking about imitate me, follow me, as Paul said, as I follow Christ. Not as I follow my own folly. Well, I can follow him, because he's following his folly, and I got some folly I'm trying to get off too. So I can do that. No. Follow me as I follow Christ. And as I follow Christ, then imitate me. When I get off, pray for me. Amen. Prayerfully, at the point that I may get off, if you know that were possible, if I got off, prayerfully, I've trained you enough to pray me back. But then that's why we look at fathers and mothers. Because we have gone through already. Not that we have arrived. We're just further ahead than you. Amen. There's some stuff you coming through, and we can tell you what's going to happen at the end if you're willing to listen. You don't have to bump your head where we bumped ours. Amen. That's how God loves us. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for these people. We thank you, Lord, for those who would join us in the archives. I pray right now, Lord, that you begin to send in the souls. I speak it now in the atmosphere, from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Release the souls in the name of Jesus. Give us a word, articulate. Give us wisdom that we can bring in the men, the women of God, in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, as we birth our sons and daughters, Lord, to pour into them what you would have us pour into them. Not our personal life dislikes and isms, Lord, but your will, your purpose. Lord, help us to help them to listen to your voice and follow attentively what you said in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray right now that if there's anyone who's not saved, that they would pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in the name of Jesus. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible-believing church, that they may be matured and develop and go on to do what you called them to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, I speak miracles, signs, and wonders manifesting in your life. I don't know who that's for. It doesn't matter, but we touch and agree with your faith right now. God is going to do it. I feel it in my spirit right now. We know it so. In the name of Jesus, it is so. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. There you'll find out more about us. Become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophet McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you it's God's will for you to live the kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.